This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It is 2:59. I could just tell you what the weather is. It's drizzly and warm, not so much. It's I don't think it's 59 degrees outside, no. Technology sometimes lies. However, it's warm in here, and it's a beautiful day in our area because it's always beautiful here with the Columbia River, and we have fabulous guests in town, and you're going to meet some of them very shortly. Overnight low, around 30, southwest winds gusting to 23 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms possible, high near 45. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 45. So, all is good in the lower Columbia region, the Columbia Pacific. Thanks for being here, folks. Welcome to Squamish, to Sydney and Robin and Omaha and Sev and Tessa and Seashelt, to New York, Susan, up on the east side, and perhaps to some of the Nova Scotians listening from, it could be anywhere, and wherever you happen to be living or visiting right now. And to all of our guests and guest listeners all over the world who are tuned in for this fabulous event that's going on here in Astoria, the Fisher Poets Gathering. It's 23rd year, and by golly, I've got my button on, right? Yep. Oh, that's a nice button. 2020. I'm going to put it back on. That lets me get in anywhere. And you can get your button in many places, especially the Gear Shack. Highly recommend if you're here or if you're going to be here, or just imagine walking down Commercial Street to 1312 Commercial, and that is the 2020 Gear Shack. It's Anita's, and it is full of information, buttons, and a silent auction, which is full of goodies as well. Well, I think what I want to do is start right out with my first guests, because I have a very full show. And with me, some of you have been hearing about and asking about my first guest, Loretta Brockhoff, who lives in Tokeland, Washington, and that... We hear a lot about Tokeland. It's an arts community these days. I'm not sure it always has been. Maybe Loretta can tell us. Because she's pushing 90, I hear. Is that true, Loretta?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't just shake your head on the radio. Hey, welcome to Coast Community Radio. I am delighted to have you here.
And... I'm terrified to be here, but...
Oh, well, it's just a conversation between you and me anyway, okay. So what the heck. Claire is here with us, too. Claire is a friend who helps facilitate, and Claire and Loretta are party animals, is what I hear, and they are planning to enjoy this weekend. You've been coming to Fisher Poets for a while, though, right?
Yes, I think... Probably the first time I came to one was in the 1970s, one of the earlier ones. And I came with my friend, Lamont Bradshaw, and we came for 2 or 3 years in a row. And then for some reason, I don't know, I just quit coming.
Well, we're glad to have you here now. And what I understand is you are actually going to be on stage So you think you're nervous now. Wait till you get on stage. No, just kidding. You got two opportunities. Let me just tell folks right now, Loretta is going to be at Kala tonight in the 6 to 7 slot, probably about 6:15, 6:20. And then tomorrow evening, she will be at the Liberty at 6 o'clock. And that is where Coast Community Radio is broadcasting from. So you'll be able to hear her, give her, tell her story. So I understand that you worked in the cannery, but you didn't just work there. What did you do in the cannery in Tokeland, the Nelson Cannery?
I was a crab shaker. And a crab shaker is the person that gets the crab meat out of the shells.
So did you break the shell and then?
Well, if you start out, you pull the claw off, and right. Then you pull a little pincher side of the claw out, and usually just whack him, and
the front
will fall in there, and the knuckle, you just get the edge of it, and that piece falls in, and the next one, you just get him on the sharp side, and the cannery prefers that all these pieces come out
whole. I'm sure yes. They do. They can sell it for more. So how long did you work there?
I probably worked shaking crabs for, 16, 18 years.
And then?
Well, in the meantime, I married my husband.
Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah.
And he's the fisherman, right?
Right. And we had 5 children.
Oh, that'll keep you busy. Yeah. How long were you married to this fisherman?
I think we were... Well, we got married in 1950, and he died in 2007.
Okay, that's a long haul.
That was a long haul.
Long haul. So, if he was a fisherman, was he gone from home a lot? Or
mostly he crab fished, which is a day fishery. Okay. Or home in the evening.
Right.
Only when he went out tuna or salmon trolling, then he would be gone.
Right. But that, I understand, crab fishing is one of the most dangerous. How did you feel about that? Were you, no worries? You knew he'd come back every night?
Well, I always figured he'd come back every night.
Okay.
Except one time when he went on somebody else's boat and he fell off.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a big, high boat. And there was only the two of them, my brother-in-law and him. And Earl said, I had to get him out because I knew if I didn't, you'd kill me.
Earl is your brother-in-law. Your brother-in-law, okay. Yeah, after all, with 5 kids in the house, you needed someone else involved there. And so how is that being a fisherman's wife, though? Did you feel was that a good life?
Well, I guess it's like anything. You have good years and you have bad years. And if you manage to survive, you figure everything's okay.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Markham. My people were single sawyers and loggers.
Where is Markham?
Markham is about 10 miles outside of Aberdeen.
Way up. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you moved down for the job, or what brought you to Tokeland? Most of us never heard of Tokeland. How'd you get to Tokeland?
Well, the bus ran there across the school, for one thing. That's where I first heard of it.
Okay.
And then my older sister got a divorce, and she moved to Tokeland to take care of somebody's children,
uh-huh.
But then she went to work in the cannery because it was much more profitable. And that's how I wound up in Tokeland. I went to spend a summer down with her.
And that was
when I was in high school.
In
yeah.
high school. Oh, that was a few years back.
Yes,
yeah.
It was a few
and
years.
And you've lived there ever since.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I understand that you have been telling stories. I spoke to your niece, Mary Downs.
Right.
And what happens? Do you tell stories about experiences on the in the cannery, or as a fisherman's wife, or what are you going to be? All of them. Well,
I have one book called My Father's Children, which it's about the days down on the farm and milking the cows and peeling cascara and raising gardens and all the things you do on a, well, we called it a stump ranch.
Right.
You've heard of stump ranch.
I think I have one, actually.
You have? Okay. Yes.
Lots of stumps around. Did you ever imagine that you would be involved from the logging industry to the fishing industry?
No.
Because those were the two, I moved here about 45 years ago, and those were the two big industries. And you were in both of them. So, yeah.
My dad was a single sawyer. He had two missing fingers.
Oh, yeah. That makes him a local. Yeah, I know. We won't go there right now, please. So, what are you going to talk about at Kala and Liberty? Do you have a story or a poem, or are you going to sing a song?
No, I just have a little opening statement, a little bit about where I'm from, and then I'm going to read a couple poems.
I was looking to see if you had your poetry book with you, but
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, what is called The Tale of the Barbara Lee, which was a crab boat that sank off of Westport in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And the tragic thing was that the Invincible was a new Coast Guard cutter that they had just gotten, and it was supposedly, and I guess it really is, unsinkable.
Huh.
But the crab boat got safely over the bar, and the Invincible went upside down, and the crab boat turned around to go help it.
Oh, no.
And they got...
Yeah.
Everybody was gone.
Right. Now, is that something that you wrote or someone else wrote?
I wrote a poem about it.
Yeah.
And then I have a poem about our fishing boat that I'm going to read.
What was the name of your boat?
Our boat was the Shirley Lee.
Shirley Lee.
Right. And then I have a little thing about just an explanation of a bay or, you know, what is a bay and a little bit about Willapaw Bay.
Could you tell us that? Because most of the people listening, those of us who live here have heard of Willapa Bay. We've been there. We even know how to pronounce it as opposed to Willapa or something like that. But we don't know much about it and what makes it a bay and whatever your thoughts are.
Well, the North River and the... North River, the Cedar River, and why can't I think of the worst down by Raymond?
No, Claire doesn't know.
It's the Willapaw River, really.
Okay.
Willapaw River.
Yeah.
Those three rivers all flow into the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bar is where you cross from the ocean into the bay. And this can be very, very turbulent. And actually, according to everything I've read, Willapaw is the third most dangerous bar in the United States. And so you have to be very, and it takes 45 minutes to get starting to come in, and there's sand spits that you gotta go around and not over to get in there. And so it's kind of a tricky little place to get in and out of.
Takes a lot of skill.
Right. You've got to know your directions.
Right, and the current. And so did your husband travel on that?
Yes, he was. That's when during the summer months, they always fished out in the ocean, so they went over to the bar every day.
Oh, boy.
And back in at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. You kind of had to judge
right.
According to the stage of the tide.
Yeah, here we pay attention to that Columbia River bar and got bar pilots and everything because it's so dangerous. So
right.
Similar idea. So is the rest of your family, any of them got involved in fishing?
My oldest
your
son
kids?
Is a crab fisherman out of Westport.
Okay.
The youngest son is running the old Shirley Lee out of Tokeland.
Oh, wow.
And the middle son was a fisherman until he married a cranberry bog.
Anybody I know? Okay, I like that. Till he married a cranberry bog. Okay. Claire, do you have anything you want to add to that cranberry bog thing?
not really. I live across the street from cranberry bogs, and my best friends own cranberry bogs, but I'm just there watching it all.
Okay, because I understand these are some of the industries. You know, everybody knows cranberries, eats cranberries, enjoys them, and they have no idea where they come from. So here we have the picture. Now, you said you had five kids?
Right. I have two girls. What neither is one of them are fishermen.
No fisher? Okay. Smart women. They got out of the business. So, are you glad that your life took you to the water, from the stump farm to the water?
Well, it wasn't what I had in mind. I was going to be a newspaper reporter.
Oh, wow.
It was my big dream.
Well.
But my younger sister took my dream and took off with it.
Hey, we could use some newspaper people. We'll talk. Here at the station, you can give us some news from where you are. Well, my guest is Loretta Brockoff from Tokeland, Washington. And she will be telling stories tonight at Kala. That's in the 6 to 7 hour, about 6:15 or so. And then tomorrow evening, Saturday, at the Liberty Theater at 6. And again, that will be broadcast on the radio, so you can tune in for that. Thank you so much for coming, Loretta, and I wish you much joy in life and have a good time being a performer. This weekend.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
Me.
You bet.
I wasn't there as bad as I thought it was going to be.
See? Thank you. I'm gonna use that as a reference. Thank you. Claire, thank you for coming in and thank you for facilitating. I appreciate
You're quite welcome.
That's great. And thanks to Mary out there who put it together as well. Take care.
Okay.
Enjoy the weekend. I've got some music for you folks. This one goes out to Nova Scotia and to all the fishers and all over the world who, Loretta was just telling us, people go down and things happen. And you'll hear those kinds of stories here this weekend too. Poignant, sad, hard stories, as well as hilarious, joyful and camaraderie. That's what it's about. Thanks for being here, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
Not far off the coast of Nova Scotia, Corinthian lay in the fog. No sign of the coming disaster, a young sailor wrote in his log. They were aft on the nets, slowly hauling. At the bow did his grandfather stand. The captain gave signals and warnings, but destiny heeds no command. Oh, a freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day, it was more than half the crew. And among them was his grandpa, who was killed before he knew if the good Lord let his grandson make it through. Sailed out of Gloucester, where fate is the fisherman's friend. Just one of a thousand disasters, the faithful abide till the end. The Corinthian met with ill fortune in the fog half a century ago. But Gloucester will honor forever the men who were lost down below. A freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day, it was more than half the crew. And among them was his grandpa, who was killed before he knew if the good Lord let his grandson make it through. Oh, rest your soul. Your grandson made it home, he made it home. On the monument, your love for him is known. A freighter hit Corinthian and cut her right in two. Six fishermen were lost that day, it was more than half the crew. And among them was his grandpa, who was killed before he knew that the good Lord let his grandson make it through. Not far off the coast of Nova Scotia, Corinthian lay in the fog. No sign of the coming disaster, a young sailor wrote in his log.
That's The Souls of the Sea with Corinthian. Powerful story. Beautifully sung. And they were here. Yes, they were here. And 1 year. And that's where I got the music. And being a former, well, I'm still a lover of Nova Scotia, but I used to live there. So it's very special to me. Well, it's all very special, and we are so, so fortunate that a few folks got it together 23 years ago to invite a few fishing friends to come and tell stories and get together, and it has grown way beyond anyone's expectations. And this time, Loretta was a first-timer, and I believe that my next guest Ken Kachia Smith, and I'm going to let him say it in case I'm mispronouncing it.
It's Kachaya.
Kachaya. Okay, I should have asked you. Kachaya. And the Smith part I got, that I can handle. So Ken is here. Is this your first Fisher Poets Gathering? Yes. And what I think a friend of yours told you about it. Is that how it came
about?
Yes,
that's true.
Michelle, who's a...
Abramson,
who's a...
She lives at Corbett, Oregon.
And where do you live?
I live just up east of Corbett. My mailing address is Corbett.
Okay.
I live on Larch Mountain.
Larch Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you grow up?
All around that country.
Yeah.
Wascopum, the Dalles, all over.
Well, I heard you out there. I couldn't stay, but I could tell right away you are some storyteller because you have a lot of stories in you. You have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. And you've been sharing those stories with many people. And I think that's what you're going to be doing here with us this weekend.
Yes, yeah. It's time to share so that we can do something to save the salmon people and all the other things and different things that our great Creator has put here for us to be good caretakers and guardians of the land and be stewardess and be honest with ourselves and not just take more than what we need.
Amen, brother. I thank you.
So thank you. All the people that listen to this, I say, Ahaya, Tayatana. I'm pleased to meet you, child of God, and let you hear the voice of the land and how we were here since the creation. And we were created in this land and given the voice of this land. And that is our law. So I like to interpret the things that I share, but to just know that we're all in this leaky canoe together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stick together and be lovely and be friends. Strive to be happy. Because life is short in my 86 and a half years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's time to share some of the beautiful things that our people have shared on the big river here. Some people call it the Wana. Further up here, it's the Waimal to the tribes. Up past the Walamut. Walamut, that's it. Wasco word.
Mm.
It's called the Enchiwana, Nichiwana, and then the Wana is up above the Tri-Cities at the land of the Wanapum. That means the upper river people and far beyond. Used to go way into Canada, as you know, to the ice fields and the Columbia ice fields. That's the source. And everybody loved to go there at least once in their lifetime to go to the source of this great river we call our home and the river of life. And it's in everybody and all the tribes that lived here and up and down and the chiefs and the great salmon chiefs that I used to know and see when I was in my younger years. And the last great salmon chief that kept the law of the creator and the creation here was Chief Tommy Thompson, who lived in the Waikanushpam, Wayampum, Miwakishwitpam village at Salilo Falls. These people had a trade there for the salmon and fish salmon there since time immemorial. And I like to share that with you. And it just, I knew the chief pretty well and his wife, Flora. She's a beautiful woman. She always sat at ceremonies with me and that's all she talked about. Was the salmon and fishing and all the knowledge that her husband had taught her because he'd had more wives and he'd outlived several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they flooded the falls in March 1957, I was there standing right close to him. And everybody cried. I cried and his wife Flora, she cried. Everybody cried. And when the falls were flooded, and the next day, when I went to see again, it was a big lake, I cried again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been crying ever since, because he had a treaty in his pocket to fish there. As long as the river flowed, the sun shone, and the grass grew. But it didn't mean too much.
Yeah.
And he died of a broken heart.
Mm.
Yikushiwa means the way it is.
Mm.
We can't change that.
Yeah.
I just love to share then about the lower river here if I have more time.
I would love for you to give
and
us.
And the people, yeah, this big village across the river, close to Megler there, and up to Skamakawa, and down to the ocean. The next village below the Megler was the Chinook. I've caught hundreds and hundreds of Chinook, but I've never caught a Chinook, and I'm still looking. Still looking. So,
okay,
you know,
I guess that's the answer to how do you pronounce it.
You
okay.
Got it. And they used, that's where the flatfish was, came from, and the white man got interested in that because in the spinning reel, they used to have a bag. Everybody said they had a box. No, they had a little
basket,
a little wapas, and they would put a stick up through it, a nice smooth one, and it'd stick out the top about that far. And they wrapped the line around and around and around the stick, and on the end of the stick was one stone tied with a hole in it, and it tied in a knot just above what they call a flatfish nowadays. And they were just a cedar stick carved, looked like a little fish, and they'd paint it red with the root bark and the hemlock and the ocher from the clay that you can find in the clay in the mountains, the tuma, the clay. And they'd throw that line out there, and it'd just wiggle, and them big salmon love red. They go, aye, aye, ush. It just drives them crazy. And they pull them in, just hand line them in and wrap that string around that
stick that in the basket.
Yeah, and a lot of the line was made of rabbit bush and nettles. The fiber in nettles, the string and the ropes were wonderful from that kind of things that are free in the woods and along the rivers and the things that grow.
Did you have the opportunity to do some of that?
Oh, boy. That's why I told you about. And then El Waco's the next big village down and up Hualapa Bay. Instead of Hualapa, it's Hualapa.
Okay.
And,
we're going to have to make a new lexicon here. So.
And the big mountain out here that everybody can see, they call Saddle Mountain. They should have probably never cut all the trees off the top because it draws the moisture from the ocean.
Thank you.
And that's what the Salapa, the spruce trees, we call chopai, means a throne for the clouds, and the cloud people come and sit in them. And it rains in there on a sunny day. About a third more rainfall than in a clear cut just a few hundred feet away.
Yeah.
So took me a long time to get the Bull Run Watershed in Portland, Oregon to listen to me.
Thank you so much.
And you know, they quit logging then on the ridges, but they still don't. They come here and never ask us a question.
Yeah.
And our people have been living here since the creation, since time immemorial. That's the better way to put that.
Yeah.
And at the time of the creation, the salmon means so much to us that when the great creator called to the eagle and told him to bring everybody together, and I will meet you here in one more moon. And he did. He asked the eagle, he says, how long have you lived here? Since the creation of the world. And he says, I am glad you remembered. You're the overseer and the guardian. And the people will live in the shadow of your wing. But they're going to be helpless. I'm going to create some new beings. And you know, the salmon people were the first one to step forward and say, I will be for their food, but let some of my people go. So the salmon chiefs that I was talking about, Chief Tommy Thompson, he would come out in the morning, and they'd all be out there ready to fish, but they'd wait for him to raise his tukush, his walking stick, and they'd start fishing. And if he come out about 2 in the afternoon or 1 and wanted to take a nap, he'd raise his tukush, and they stopped fishing. And they'd just sit there and wait, maybe an hour or 2, he'd come back out, raise his tukush, and he'd start fishing. And just before dark, about a half an hour before the sun pulled down all the light, he'd raise his tukush again, and they stopped fishing. so the salmon could go. And that's the way we've been living on this river till that was 1957. He was the last salmon chief that I knew that was still following the old tradition, like our people have done since the time of the creation on this river, before this river flowed in other rivers. So,
wow. Folks, you see what I mean? This Ken Kachaya Smith is my guest, and as you can see, he is an amazing storyteller. I also, is it true that you're the last male speaker of the Wasco dialect?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the oldest male I think.
Okay.
Of the Wasco tribe.
And what is the name of that language? I can't pronounce.
Well, it doesn't sound too good. Oh. We just call it Wasco.
Okay. I know. I was looking at it going, I don't think I want to say that out loud. No, okay. Okay. It's the Upper Chinook. And do you know, Heidi or Ken, when and where Ken is reading or speaking tonight?
Tonight we're going to be at the Liberty Theater. Okay. And he's in the group that's speaking at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
7 to 8. And then tomorrow it's at the 1015 Theater at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. And folks, Michelle's at that time too, tomorrow night. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Your friend Michelle. Great. So, folks, the beauty is the diversity is unbelievable here, as you can see already, and I've got more to share with you on this show too. Ken, thank you so much for coming. Heidi, you as well. I hope you both have a wonderful weekend. Welcome to the Fisher Poets Gathering, and may this not be the end. May this be the beginning of a new relationship. So
thank you
so much.
Well, thank all of you, too, and I wish you all the best. Ikushiwa means the way it is.
The way it is. Before you leave, can we swing the mics over? I have a couple of young men here. They have instruments in their laps and not much room, but we're going to give them the mics and see if they can play us a tune. Could you do that, guys? This
Absolutely.
Is the... This is the Ryan and Kyle Lutz from, I believe, San Francisco?
Yes.
Is that right?
Bay Area, currently. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they are. They're going to give us a little music, and we're going to bring some more guests in. So.
Shine upon the water as dawn lays down still. The sun comes up rolling, just rolling over the hill, rolling over the hill. That first pull of the season when you stop and check your pride. Throw some back from where they came and wish upon a sigh, wish upon a sigh. All you're wishing for, well, trouble's off of your mind, trouble's off of your mind. Jokes told a thousand times that never get too old. Up and laughing through the wind, storm, and cold. The wind, storm, and cold. The wind, storm, and cold.
Oh, okay. Who are you guys?
So we are Ryan and Kyle Lutz.
Come to
Lutz
the mics.
Brothers. We are up here from the Bay Area, and this is our fifth year at Fisher Poets.
Wait a second. How old are you?
27 and 30.
I just turned 30 years old last month. Yeah,
well, mazel tov.
So you're nice and old.
Yes, nice and old. Well, that's great. Have you been on the radio before?
Not here.
Hey.
No, never.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. This was a, as you can see, I'm going to keep them here. I'm going to swing the mics over to my next guests. And you never know, they might play us another tune. Where are you guys playing for the Fisher? Are you performing?
Yeah, tonight we are emceeing and performing at the 10:15.
Oh, fantastic.
And tomorrow
we'll be at Astoria Brewing Company at 8 p.m.
And tonight at 9.
At 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a nice, intimate place. Brand new Black Box Theater, less than a year old, 10:15. So that's going to be great. So again, all of these folks are playing Fridays and Saturday. You can catch them. As I say, if they don't mind, I'm going to keep them here, but send them to, well, you're okay. You can keep that mic. I've got two mics. Come a little bit closer. My last scheduled guests. I invited Ryan and Kyle as well, but communications were a little bit rocky, and so I'm so glad that they showed up. My guests who are here, okay, these are old timers, and in fact, they are known to the folks in Astoria, even if they aren't known by name. They're known because of their fish. They provide the fish for some of our favorite places, especially South Bay Wild, of course. And that would be, now, I may mess up your name too, Telly, even though you've been on the show and I've known you for years.
It's okay.
Tella Adson.
Yeah,
let's get
good
that.
Enough.
Get nice and close to the mic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And where is that name from?
It's Norwegian, and
you belong here then. She's a Nordic, so she's legit in this area. And Telly has is a memoir writer, an essayist, a fabulous writer. And with her is poet Joel Brady Power. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
And Joel, have you been coming all these years too?
Yeah. I think we started coming 7 or 8 years
2012.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't perform the first couple of years. They
They
got me up on stage for the on-site poetry contest. And then after that, I think it was Pat Dixon said, all right, you're doing 15 minutes next year.
Well, was
and here I am.
It was nice of him to give you a little notice, eh? He didn't just wait till you were there and say, tomorrow. So that's great. Okay, so the reason we know them, though, is, and perhaps what they write about, they're going to tell us this. They troll in Southeast Alaska on the F.V. Nurka, and they process their catch at sea, and they market it themselves still, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge amount of, most people don't do, they're sitting there going,
yes, it is.
Yep. What were we thinking? My goodness. But it's fantastic. And we here, who live here, and welcome people to the Fisher Poets are just thrilled that you do what you do and that you come here for this weekend to share the art part of it.
It's not an altruistic thing. Like, this is very life-giving to us through the whole year. And, we love our time in Astoria with everyone here.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Now, you all, I think you mentioned that you drove a van here full of fish. Is that true?
We did. Yeah, we had a few stops along the way. In Seattle, and then, brought fish to South Bay Wild and the Fort George Brewery.
And the Hanthard Crab Company with Tom Hilton, which is wonderful to be able to supply fellow Fisher Poet-owned businesses.
Absolutely.
And longtime Fisher Poet venues. Yeah. And I think certainly both the Fort George and South Bay Wild are running NERCA Coho specials this weekend.
Oh,
so we
okay.
are really grateful for their partnership.
Fantastic. Well, I've been there when they were talking about you, and I think your picture is up on the yeah, because it's very unusual. It's like for people to how did this come about?
Well, we both grew up in the fishing industry. My dad was a fisherman. I was first on the boat when I was 2 weeks old, so I grew up on my parents' boat. And as far as the marketing side of it, my dad also started that in
1998.
Yeah, and when he started, there were very, very few people. There are more people now, but back then there was almost nobody doing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he literally started by bringing like 1,000 fish home or 1,000 pounds of fish home just to see if he could sell it. And each year just kind of built up from there. And I think the big thing for him and the big thing for us has been the relationships with our customers, not just, you know, here's a fish, but fostering those relationships and making lasting connections with chefs and other people who care about sustainably harvested seafood.
And your dad did such a beautiful job of that, because the first chef in La Conner, Washington, that he handed a coho over to, that customer, that chef still takes fish from us every week over 20 years later.
Wow. There's a testament. Yeah. Yeah. It's very risky, but ironically, nowadays, it's all the rage to know. I mean, they make jokes about it. Mm-hmm. Know where that chicken came from, you know? Know the name of that cow or whatever it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but the idea to make it such a personal, put that personal touch on it, I can't even fathom bringing it all together. And then you also keep your art going, your writing going. Not as much. Is that seasonal or what's happening?
I mean, personally, I have Fisher Poets to thank for any art that still happens lately. You?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting for me, I mean, I had maybe kind of doodled or written in a journal or written some songs, but before I came to Fisher Poets, I definitely would not have called myself a poet. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I hadn't written anything that I would have even called a poem. And there's something about this community and the performers here, the audiences here, that really inspire creativity and foster a very safe feeling place to, you know, get up there and tell your story. You know, it's a very receptive audience. People come here because they want to hear the stories, because they want to hear a lot of different viewpoints. And I can't imagine a better audience to get up in front of and share. It still scares the crap out of me, but
well, I'm thinking that not only is it a sympathetic, supportive, loving community, but also there are a lot of people who know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They've been there. They've done that. Not the same, but in their own way. And so there is that feeling, too. I can just, you know, people sitting there shaking their heads, you know. And
yeah, and we all have such a different level individually of what we're comfortable sharing and what feels more or less okay to nudge up on. And so I really look to particular Fisher Poets who can name experiences that are so universal, but a lot of us aren't quite sure of how to unpack them or make sense of them or put a name to them. And I hear people at Fisher Poets doing that, and it's a huge gift.
I agree. I also think that there are, I know that there are folks who have opened up with very deep, hard stories. And just as you're both saying, this was the place I could share it. Because I know they understand, they care. And, yeah, I'm thinking of some particular stories that we all know now. Yeah. But we didn't know at the beginning. And they keep coming. And this is, you're in between. I don't even have a clue how old you are, but you've been coming for so long. But, you know, I just had a 90-year-old, 89 and 86-year-olds on. And then I have the 26 or 7 and 30 27 and 30. Mm-hmm. And you're somewhere...
42.
There you go.
And I'm 37.
Okay. So you're not that much older than me. But they're relative... I think the four of you in this room, then, we're kind of depending on you folks mm-hmm. to keep this festival going, even though you live mm-hmm. way down there in California and way up there in Alaska. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, I've always loved hearing from John Broderick and Jay Speakman, and just an appreciation for how many people make Fisher Poets happen.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
are all unpaid volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What it takes to make this go, and how many of us just roll into town. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the best weekend of the year, as if it didn't take 5 months preparation.
Right, at least. Yeah. and then knocking on doors. I know you have an extra bedroom. Could you put up a couple? But the festival has grown because people appreciate it. Folks are coming from other places. But, people get sucked in also.
Yeah.
Any chance you have a poem that you might be able to share with us, Joel?
Oh, man. I didn't even think of that.
On the spot?
What would I do? My stuff isn't usually very short.
Uh-huh. But you did take away the prize of last year's slam.
Oh
man, I'm not gonna do that one.
what's a slam? Tell folks.
So tonight there'll be the third annual Fisher Poets. What do they call it exactly?
The Poetry on the Line.
Poetry on the Line. Yeah. So it's a slam for performers to compete, get up and say a poem, and yeah, you'll be judged by random people chosen from the audience, and I got to participate last year. It was a lot of fun.
Is this the one where they give you three words and tell you?
That's a different one.
Yeah, this one's...
That's tomorrow.
Everything goes. It's just got to be under 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and you said yours could be longer, so you had to compress.
Well, it was... If you said it at like a normal pace, it would probably be like 5 minutes long.
Right.
But I just say it really, really,
really
fast.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. So. Well, tell us anything you would like to share about what keeps you coming back. Telly said this is a highlight. And I know you're going to come here anyway to deliver fish, but I don't think that's why you come on this weekend.
No.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, ever since the first, I remember the very first year we came here and we walked into the door. That was at Clemente's.
They used to
have the open mic back then. And we didn't know anybody, and we were kind of overwhelmed, like, okay, like, what's going on here? We walked in the door, and it was Rob Seitz and Pat Dixon were the first two people we saw. And they just walked right up to us, and it was like, it just immediately felt like people we'd known all our lives, but we actually never met.
Yeah.
And so it just felt like we were immediately walking into a new family that we didn't know we had. And that's, I think that's the biggest thing that keeps us coming back is the people, the performers that we form like such a strong bond with, but also just audience members. You know, you get up there and you bare your soul, you say mm-hmm. something, and inevitably you're going to connect with somebody. And those interactions that you have when you come off the stage and you read a poem or you said something or shared a story and somebody connected with that, and then you go and have a conversation with that person. It's really powerful stuff. And so that's what keeps me coming back. Mm-hmm.
So when you leave here, you go back to
Bellingham, actually.
Go to Bellingham
first.
We're
in Bellingham in the off season, and then we fish out of Sitka in the summer.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And fishing is, you can see this being your life for
I won't speak for Joel, but I want to see it as an option for my life. Mm-hmm. I want to see it as an option for future boat kids, the way it was for Joel and I in the mm-hmm. 80s. And that is one of the things I'm counting on from Fisher Poets is to, as individual gear groups and fisheries, fisher folks are not big, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
groups, but if we have communities behind us of, you know, our chefs and their guests and everyone who understands that they are also part of that story.
You can pull it together.
What is a way to make this sustainable for all, including salmon and oceans?
So Fisher Poets Gathering is a good time, but it's not just a good time. You can see from all the people who are here, it's about making community and making community for the humans and the fish and the river and the oceans and sustainability. It's a big word here. So I think what, first tell us where you folks are going to be. Do you know?
Yeah, so we're both emceeing tonight at the Columbian Theater.
Okay. You know, time-ish?
We're going to be there. We'll be emceeing from 5 to 10. Ooh. I'll be going on in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay. Yeah, and I lead off the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay. Yeah. And then tomorrow night?
Somewhere in the 7 o'clock hour at the Astoria Brewing Company. Astoria. I can't remember exactly where.
Well, people need to have people need to have one of these guides. You can pick it up at the Coast Weekend. It's everywhere. Go to the Gear Shack, 1312 Commercial. It's on the riverside. You can't miss it. I'm sure they have well marked. There's also a silent auction there. And
With one of the Nurka's fish in the silent auction. We brought down a 10.5-pound king salmon frozen at sea on the Nurka.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, hook and line caught on the Fairweather grounds this summer. And so that fish is currently being held at the bistro until the winning bid comes in tomorrow. So, yeah.
Folks, get yourself down to the Gear Shack. 1312 Commercial. I'm heading them. You can also get a button there. You can get the Coast Weekend printout. I think Hipfish also has a printout. So there's lots of ways to find out what's happening. You know what? I'm going to ask, thank you so much for coming in, Telly and Joel.
Thank you, Carol.
And thanks for having us.
For being sustainers of Fisher Poet. I want to pass it back to Ryan and Kyle, but I'm also going to be reading some of the other things that are going on in our neighborhood tonight and this weekend. Believe it or not, there's lots more happening here. So I'm going to ask them to actually play some music rather than sing, and then we'll see if we have time for that too. I'll start reading. You pitch in whenever you like. And it's tonight. The Cannon Beach Library has the Writers Read Celebration, Views from the Coast, 7 o'clock. The Hoffman, Youth Films on Tap, Labor Temple, Mutineers, and Kath Lammett that's a Kath Lammett rock and roll duo. And the Columbia River Maritime Museum at 6 o'clock has The Boys in the Boat, A Daughter Remembers at 6 tomorrow. Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening 6 to 7:30 for their group show, AVA noon to 2, Shelby Silver art workshop about buoys, and then Duncan Berry is doing Gyotaku at 3:30. Fort Clatsop at 1 o'clock, Discovering York with my last week's guest, Ron Craig. Coaster Theater, comedy variety show with Jason Andrews at 7:30. This is all Saturday. Southwester, Robin Bassier and Lorraine. The Peninsula Performing Arts Center, Silver Lake 66. And they'll also be at the Pickled Fish on Sunday. Times Theater in Seaside, Pink Floyd Tribute Band. Seaside Brewing has Fox and Bones. And Sunday, The Labyrinth at the Grace Episcopal from 3 to 6. And I'm sure there's more. Fort George always has music. There's the Story Slam. And the is happening Monday at Beach Tavern in Long Beach, Wednesday at the Workers Tavern in Astoria, and Thursday at Maggie's on the Prom in Seaside. And the theme is life-changing experiences. Tuesday is Rick's Poetry Mic at Winecraft at 7. Bring your poetry or just bring your ears and heart. Beach Books is featuring Marianne Monson at lunchtime. My other guest last week, Napton Cove, Tuesday through Saturday throughout the month of March, Containing Contagion. and the North Coast Chamber Orchestra, 7 o'clock open rehearsal at Cannon Beach Community Church. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, the Geezer Creek, our local Geezer Creek at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. And Thursday, Fort George Lovell, Marian Monson again with her book.